Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
show number getting a lot closer to 1600, y'all. We've been at it a while, and we'll keep doing it until we get it right. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. As it is again hump day, and we endeavor to break open another brain buffet here at Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Single, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Now, there's a lot of good stuff coming in, so we got to keep back. Well, we got to keep on going, actually. Anyway, shout out to the Brother Man Network, as it were. All the members there in Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. Our brother D. Orlando Ledbetter, who I found out just had a birthday. Happy birthday, D. If you're on the road, ring up, brother. Happy birthday. Much love and congratulations on your NABJ award. D. Orlando Ledbetter out of Philly. Then, of course, our brother, Professor Fred, at North Kakalaki. Somewhere in the smokehouse. Like I said, take out some ribs. I got some greens up in here. Anyway, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba. Crew over at the African-American Athlete, Ricky, Tim, and Mike. Much love to them. I was on their show last night. We had a lot of fun. Run down some truth. And, of course, as always, all the rest of y'all, as we carry on. Now, tonight's show is presented by the letter A. It's brought to you by the letter A, as in attribution, affirmation, and assholery. Oh, you know it's coming. Now, let me set this up right. Because now this actually happened to me. I was working for Gannett newspapers. Oh, this is close to the turn of the century. Sounds like I'm back in the 1800s and shit. No, this is 1999, and I was working for the Poughkeepsie Journal. And I was doing a Black History Month piece. You know, it's February, so they only want stuff from black folks then. While they ignore us the rest of the time, if they can. But anyway, I was doing a 20 questions piece, kind of, sort of, about black folks. And I made mention of the fact that in addition to Motown, what is Detroit famous for? And how does it affect black people? So, of course, I had to add the answer to it. And the answer is, Detroit is the home of techno. You have brothers like Derek May, Kevin Saunderson, doing all this great stuff to create this, is it Saunderson or Saunderson? I always forget, but Derek May for sure. Always creating this great music. And as my source, I contacted a colleague of mine from Vancouver, a brother named Don Chow. And I said, Brother Chow, to your knowledge, do you recollect what the first techno record was? And did a black artist perform it? And Brother Chow said, yes, I do know. It was a song called No UFOs. To our knowledge, it's the first techno record. And I used that information to produce my answer. Okay, so of course there was all good stuff in there, like Beethoven being black and other stuff. But after I had the piece finished, my editor came to me and asked about who this Don Chow was, because they didn't know him. Was I just pulling the name up my ass? You know, stuff to imply like, well, this is good, but, and y'all know how they love to use that but. Anyway, I said, yes, I know him. He's a colleague of mine. He's a DJ from Vancouver. Remember, guys, this is where you found me. And, you know, you can actually try him on Facebook. So, of course, they looked him up, and Brother Chow was there. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because in the newspaper business, you must have affirmation or sometimes what they call human voice. If I interview person A or B, you know, they want verification that I spoke to them or I got their opinion on something or asked them a question about something. Supposed to be how they can verify that when this article is printed in the paper, they can say, oh yeah, we know who this Don Chow person is. You know, his source is legit. All right. Now, the reason I bring this up is because with affirmation, you, of course, have verified the source. The source says, yeah, that's me. The third A, assholery, comes into effect when you have somebody who just says any old shit and doesn't verify. We recently had an article where, again, they attacked Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson. Now, we know that they've been going at this for a while. Jackson's a young brother. You know, he's been a league MVP. He's been a consistent playoff performer. He's on the last year of his rookie contract, so he's scheduled to make some serious money. But we also know that because he is scheduled to make some serious money, there might be some folks they may take issue with this sort of thing. As I have my brother.
Background.
Yes, as my brothers Gary Norris Gray and Tony McLean in background, we again speak on the fact of there is an attribution. The article in the Atlantic paper talks about a defensive coordinator they used as a source. An unnamed one, of course, because, you know, those anonymous sources are the only ones that come off. And basically he says, I really don't give a shit how many MVPs Lamar Jackson wins. He's basically a nigga, and I don't like the fact that he's black, and I don't like the fact that he's mobile, and I don't like the fact that he can run, and I don't like the fact that he can win, and essentially, they went to a character assassination of his brother. Now, gentlemen, now we know we've been this route before. We know they saw this with Cam Newton, et cetera, et cetera. And you all know what they did to him in the draft. But why are they still going after this brother who, when last I looked, has a winning record as a quarterback? I mean, a definite winning record as a quarterback with other quarterbacks such as Kirk Cousins, who ain't shit, Baker Mayfield, who ain't shit, and Carson Wentz, who definitely ain't shit. Why, poor K, why do they continue to do this? And good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Michael Lewis Ingram.
Good morning.
And I will say this one more time. I will say it one more time. America does not like black leadership in anything.
True.
So
True.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. You know, we're knee deep in training camp. We've already had one exhibition game, and we're going to get a few more exhibitions games. Not to mention, you know, we're still doing the Watson dance as well,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
you know, it's that time. You know, this is the time of the year. Basically, they're trying to set their narratives for for the 2022 season. Now, you know, we keep getting told that, you know, Josh Allen, even though he's lost to Kansas City twice in the postseason, is already anointed as better, and Kansas City is going to take a step back because they, you know, they let their speedster go, and you know, don't even mention the fact that in that same division, Wilson could pull off what Stafford did last year, as well. Not to mention, down in Philly, where Mr. Hurts, don't it?
Yes.
has gotten a few more, and very quietly around Gary's way, they've handed the keys to Mr. Dodge as well.
Okay.
So this is basically Public Enemy's album coming to fruition in the NFL, Fear of a Black Planet. And there are some folks that still, after all these years, still have a problem. Now, mind you, I didn't mention Mr. Fields in Chicago.
True.
We didn't mention who am I forgetting? You already mentioned LJ down in Baltimore. But this is you know, it's funny. Clearly, not a lot is expected of Wilson in Denver, but another Wilson in Gotham, all of a sudden now, is ready to take his team to the next level.
And don't you love it?
And it's weird because, see, you know, my thing is, did they have a good draft?
Yes,
they did. I'm not going to take that away from them, but they're still rookies. You're not, you know, unless it's like the second coming of that 49er team, where you had Lott and Williamson and all those guys take over or what have you. Look, they've got some pieces. I think even your most hardcore Jet fan would pray to his pagan god for a 7-10 record this year. But
no joke.
People have them contending for a wild card, contending for a possible division title, and all this other stuff. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it either. And see, they're still popping up the usual suspects. You know, they're still licking the crotch of Giselle's husband down in Tampa. They want to get more stuff from Serpico in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, who am I forgetting? That's pretty much it, I guess, for the old guard.
Yes, they've got nothing coming. Anybody that's got some flavor is chocolate, the savor. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Now, Reggie. Now, Lamar is down there in your neck of the woods.
Black starting quarterback this year, 10.
No, we got that. We
now,
got that.
I don't know what you're going to do this, but you can't blackball 10 players at the same time.
I'm not trying
Watch
to blackball
it.
Anyone, actually. I just
I
want somebody to do their damn job. All I'm saying, now you are, we've all written, you know, you must have attribution. They interviewed, or this asshole in the Atlantic supposedly interviewed a defensive coordinator, quotes, in asking for their opinion about Lamar Jackson. He says, I don't care how many MVPs he wins. Basically, Tony is like that remark you always say. If you don't like the guy, just say so. You know,
exactly.
We can live with that. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you if you really want to make yourself
just
better.
Just put your fucking name on it. Put your name on it.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
we'll
you.
See, we'll see.
Put
there
your
you
name
go.
On it.
See, there you go.
That's right.
There you go, Bing. There you
put
go.
Respect on it.
There you go again, Reggie. You know, being attributable. There you go again with
I
that
know,
attribution.
I know.
Exactly.
Unlike Jason Fanboy Woodlock, they call him second former coach, a snitch from the Dolphins. But I can't help.
Well, see, what's interesting now, I'm looking at now. I have the NFL record and guidebook in front of me here, with
mm-hmm.
your favorite and his Cooper Kupp on the cover. Page 302, starting records of active NFL quarterbacks with a minimum of at least 10 starts. And I'm looking at from the bottom. We've got the CJ Beathards of the world. Trevor Lawrence,
yep.
I'm going to give him a pass because, you mm-hmm. know, he's you know, they may be calling, well, well, it's the coach plus the fact that he's knee-deep in Duval, which is another
true.
Story in of itself. But near the bottom here, now yes, Justin Fields is down here at 2-8, but, you know, again, coming off of his first year. But here are some of these other Hall of Famers that are in here. Josh Rosen, 3-13. Zach Wilson, 3-10. Now again, Zach Wilson's only had 1 year, so we gotta, you know, whatever.
Right.
Blaine Gabbert,
mm-hmm.
13-35.
God.
Nick Moon Mullins, 5-12. One of my favorite, Coach McCoy, is 10-23.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones for the Jersey Giants. He's
mm-hmm.
a whopping 12-25.
Perchance, do you happen to have Lamar Jackson's stats available?
Tony. We lose Tony.
They got
Tony.
They got him. Oh, they got Tony. Uh-oh. You know what? We got to find out where
Roger Goodell's at it again.
He might be down there. He might be down there in Florida. It's very possible he might have gotten caught up in Florida. We need to go remote. Can we kick our cameras over to Florida to see what's happening? I'm being told at this minute FBI agents have just gone into the Mar-a-Lago compound.
Say what, Gary?
dream is proud.
That's what that brother was complaining about. Meanwhile, what was that now about Colin Kaepernick?
The green and browns are
talking. Oh, hell no.
Colin Kaepernick.
Hell no. That ain't gonna fly. They just want to
throw the heat off of him. Wonder of wonders. This should be interesting. Well, you know.
I can't believe that, Michael.
Where's
T-Mac at? Yo, T, where you at, T?
I think he may have been caught up. T, are you there? Are you there? I think he's trying to escape the raid. Anyway, as we say that,
the orange melon online too.
As we say this, we know for a fact that, as the professor is also coming to the fray, the standard for brothers at the most important position, leadership-wise in sports, is always going to be tenuous at best, because the explanations of why they can't do stuff will always be spurious at best. Basically, they're all full of shit. And as Reggie stated, if you can't
son,
put
you
your
didn't
name
say
on
the morosity, son. You have to follow
I
through
said,
with it.
They're all full of shit. And if you can't put your
thank
name
you
on it, something's wrong with you. I want the
hey,
name.
Hey, professor, I got a question. Hold on, professor. Got a question, professor. What's the same hell going on with the Carolina Panthers ex-coach Ron Rivera bringing the brother in and firing his ass the day before his dad goes inducted into the Hall of Fame? And that's just low down.
What's that got to do with the Steelers?
Yo, you there, Professor?
Hello? Yeah, I see what they got. Okay, I forgot you went to Virginia State. What has that got to do with the Steelers?
Well, I didn't say anything about the Steelers. Mike, did I say anything about the Steelers?
Okay. You mentioned the Washington team.
Yes.
And you mentioned the Carolina Panthers. Okay.
Yes.
Let me explain to you about North Carolina. When it comes to the Washington team, we don't care.
Yes.
And when it comes to the Panthers, we only care in the western part of the state. Although they do have a presence in eastern Piedmont as well as towards the East Coast. But The only thing that's more of an enigma or more invisible in eastern North Carolina than them is they call the Charlotte Hornets or whatever. They have no presence in East North Carolina.
No.
But they're called and you notice they're not. See, one team is called Carolina Panthers, right? The other team is called the Charlotte. It's Charlotte. Charlotte.
Yes. Charlotte. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me call.
That's actually three Charlotte teams, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. With that in mind, what we have here in North Carolina is the Charlotte team is Charlotte. The only border it crosses is into South Carolina. It only goes down to the Panthers' training camp is. We don't care.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, we don't even care that Michael Jordan is supposed to be the lead owner. We don't care about that either. Now, as far as the players, we don't know none of them because they don't talk about them in Eastern North Carolina. We have colleges that are more popular. Matter of fact, we got HBCU. Lavelle Moulton gets more play than Charlotte coaches, okay? He's at a black college.
Yes,
and he gets more he gets more play than the professional teams.
Now, Professor, hold on. As Reggie would say, how in a ham sandwich is this possible? Because the Carolina Panthers have at least been to the Super Bowl twice, and they didn't pay tickets. They actually played in it.
Was that in this decade?
No.
Okay. And get this. Okay, the young man, Horn, the cornerback, his dad is from here.
Yes.
His dad played at Douglas Byrd High School here. He gets more play than the rest of the team does.
All right.
You're talking about some of the most piss po marketing and other community service.
That's po, as in
A to
R and spell
okay.
O.
Oh. Hey, Mike, I got one eye on the Durham Bulls right now. They're in Durham. That's Eastern Piedmont. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They get more play. You know, some of these guys are up and down. The option up, option down, or whatever. They're more popular than teams you're talking about. The professional teams in North Carolina stuff. The only other team that we have, we got hockey.
Hurricane, yay!
The hockey team seem to have more jump than anybody else down there. But let me get
back to They've been the most consistent team that has been in the postseason. They're the only ones that's won a championship.
That's right.
Only professional that's won a championship. Let me specify that.
True, but let me not drift.
I don't know. College sports is professional.
Again, this is about attribution. Who the fuck is this person? Name names. If you can't name names, shut the fuck up. The piece should never have gone to the copy desk. Because
How dare you, Mike?
I know.
Why do you keep putting facts in there, man? How many of them niggas getting paid big money at quarterback? Call it what it is. Them niggas are making too much fucking money. Excuse me, Professor, for my vulgarity. But them niggas making too much money and they can't take it. Come on. They can't handle the truth. These niggas are quarterback making too much money. And they're trying to mess up LeVar Jackson money. Oh, and we have a quick story. LeVar Jackson and Barmer went to IHOP and he wanted all you could eat pancakes. Within 5 minutes, they had to usher him out because he caused a riot. The people saw who he was and wanted his autograph.
You sure they weren't there for the all you can eat for $5.99?
He was there for that.
But you know the question's going to be, how much is Lamar going to get before he puts his John Henry on the paper? Patrick Mahomes
has no agent.
Patrick Mahomes has a $500 million contract. He's been in the playoffs 4 straight years. He's won one. He won the MVP. For the money that they spent on his contract, I bet you he's almost made every bit of that back because of his performance. And in spite of the fact that the cheetah has gone to Miami, Mecole Hardman, number 17, the wide receiver, may be faster than him. So the cupboard is not bare. But again, just like Nolan Milwaukee got called out for his bullshit on Cam Newton, we got to find out who's responsible for this bullshit. Who in the ham sandwich is responsible for laying out this blasphemy?
I'm willing to bet that it's somebody within the division. I think it's a Pittsburgh. I think it's a Cincinnati. I think it's a Cleveland. that did this, and they, you know, they're basically. I think that's the best place to start, because they have to play them twice a year, so that's where the contempt comes from. So I think we narrowed it down to at least that. And again, that's just an uneducated guess that it's somebody from there. But see, what's so funny is, to piggyback on Mahomes, Kansas City can't say that they didn't have the money, because I'm sure that if it was a money issue, Mahomes would have taken a cut to keep those receivers. We've seen all of your top flight quarterbacks take, you know, pay cuts, or either just take deferred money so they could keep their guys. I mean, remember, he was probably more shocked of the trade than my man's name. Now, but see, what's so crazy is, though, on that other side, now Tua basically has got a little help now, and maybe since he's got a head coach that's a little bit more offensive minded than the guy that was there previously, maybe he could see the one narrative that they always forget about in the NFL. The thing I always look at the first of the year is, of the like 12, 14 teams that make the playoffs every year, about three or four of them don't get a return ticket. So to me, the one question is, before we start anointing teams, we have to say, okay, who of last year, who of the 12, 14 teams that made the ball last year, who's going to be able to, you know, come back and get a return ticket? And in that same vein, who's somebody that could be a gate crashing?
Yes. Gate crashing is the issue. And if we're going to expose the gate crashers, we must also expose those who want to open the gate. Hence my argument back to this so-called defensive coordinator that was interviewed by The Atlantic. I don't even know who the jackass was whose byline was used. But he didn't affirm jack shit. And I go back to the example I had in the beginning of the show. My editor was getting ready to torch my ass because he wanted to know who the hell Don Chow was. Now, I happen to know Brother Chow, so Brother Chow and I are cool. But they were ready to fire my black ass if I had come up shaky with phony information. And in Gannett, being an organization like they are, they have a whole bunch of newspapers in their inner office mail. They tell you who they let go and why they let them go. And I've actually seen at least two people lose their jobs because of lack of attribution. They did not confirm their source, or they made up the source, which, you know, is dirty pool, sabotaging, and you got to go, which is bringing us back to assholery. Now, we always believe that assholery should be a word. I agree. It is an adjective. It is the act of acting assholish, of acting stupid.
Which is an action verb, by the way.
Which is an action verb.
Hey.
I love it.
God, I love it.
Which also implies an inability
Damn
to
hell
understand.
Going on.
Yeah. Now, you could also look or act assholingly.
Is that a capital A or small A?
If you're using it as a pronoun, probably a small. But I think if you want to make your point, you can do it with an A.
Yes, and I further state that assholery is a noun. Assholery is a crime. It is listed as the crime of irrational thinking, triggered by hubris, arrogance, or otherwise dumb fuckery. Now, dumb fuckery is a word on its own.
I thought that was politics.
That's true. But BASN is about...
Slow down, man. I got to write these words down, Mike. Slow down.
So, yes. Assholery. Assholery. Just as it's spelled, A-S-S-H-O-L-E-E-R-Y. I think that's four syllables for the dictionary thing.
See, I was told there was going to be no spelling and no math. So I'm all messed up here.
M-A-F, math. Yeah.
I was told multiple choice.
That too. And the answer is all the above. These assholes who make these statements. And let's remember, again, Jackson's on his fifth year of his rookie contract. So Baltimore knows they got to pay him. And even though I don't have his record yet, as I'm scrambling to get it.
Oh, I got it. What are you looking for, Mike?
Lamar Jackson's record.
37 and 12. He is four. Matter of fact, the top five. Here are your top five. Your top five: Patrick Mahomes, 60 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle's husband, 243-73. Lamar Jackson is third, 37-12. Jimmy Garoppolo, 33-14.
Porn star.
Followed by Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I'm sorry, Serpico, 139-68. And by the way, right behind Serpico is Russell Wilson at 104-53. So basically, of the top six highest winning percentages of all active quarterbacks right now, three of them are our brothers. As a matter of fact, Dak Prescott is eighth. Tua Tagovailoa is right behind him, and that's part of that. And that's your top ten. So basically, Yeah, so that's basically half of your top ten are basically brothers. We'll make two an honorary brother
for now. But this is like
the question is, look at them salaries. Put them salaries next to them brothers.
That's the real question. That's what made that guy so mad is because. You know Mahomes is making his money, and you know Russell's making his money, and you know Dak's making his money. And see, Tua is still on his rookie contract. And Lamar is on the last year of his. So the thing is, it's literally an upward trend because one would think that with the new shiny toys that the Dolphins have, that they've got a shot, that he's got a shot to rise up on that win list. You know, you got to figure Lamar is going to rise up. Because see, I think the biggest unknown question is, would we be seeing the Bengals rise if it wasn't for the fact that Lamar missed, what was it, the last six, seven games? Not to take anything away from their run. It was a great run.
Yeah.
But if he's healthy, do the Bengals make the run? Well, see, that's one of the narratives that they won't talk about because, again, there are already things. The thing about this time of the year
again, it goes back to the attribution that Mike talks about, or in this case, the lack of attribution. Guys get anointed. Zach Wilson is anointed. You know, Josh Allen is anointed, in a sense. You know, we're used to this. Max, yeah, but I think even your most hardcore Mac Jones fans are still trying to figure out what this kid is all about. But see, that's the thing that goes on, because see, they dare not have real narratives. They would rather make them up as they go along, because see, here's the thing. I'll admit this. I like Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be I think at some point Trevor Lawrence is going to be in that top five, top ten right. elite. He's just, you know, right now he's knee-deep in Duval.
He's got to get a coach first.
Plus he's got to get a few more weapons. Now he has a few, but not enough to really sustain anything right now. But that's the thing in the NFL. You earn your bones, so to speak. But see, now that they see that the brothers are basically doing it the right way and earning their bones, they have a hard time with it because the guys that they've tried to anoint, they can't. You still got people that are trying to toot the horn for the Tannehills of the world, you know, for the Carson Wentzes of the world, for the Josh Allens of the world, and the poor sucker, I mean, soldier that has to stand in the center for the Houston Texans this year, whoever that may be.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Hey, Professor, I got a question for you, Professor. HBCU, you know, I'm going to say something that might sound blasphemy, but I would not be surprised if Jackson State go 500 this year. And the reason why I say that, number one, everybody's down there. And I mean, everybody down there got the things out for them. That first game with Florida State. I mean, Florida A&M, striker. We'll see how that goes. But also, it seems like Deion Sanders is starting to speak out on the political end. Talk about they're not getting their checks in time for student aid.
It's not so much political, Reg. It's not so much political, but he's speaking. You know, these other coaches are going through the same stuff as well. He's just the only one that's out there.
Reg.
Yes, sir.
You've been around the CIAA at least a few years, right?
Yeah, a few.
First and foremost, there's going to be one or two teams going to jump up and bite you where it hurts anyway.
Yeah.
Just because, think about it. Good programs at all levels. They can drop to the bottom, but they will only stay down 1, 2, maybe 3 years. It may take them to come back up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we said a year plus ago that when His Majesty came into HBCU land, talking all that noise, I got the best recruiting class in the history of Jackson State. Well, we can't name but two players on the team. One ain't even played. The other one's his son. Okay? So that negates having Slater, Gray, what's the running back's name? The one that retired as a leading career rusher. Oh, Walter.
Eddie Payton.
Walter, the baby brother.
Yeah, Eddie can play a good game of golf.
Mr. Payton.
Oh, And see, okay, we have not mentioned Robert Brazil, which tells you they were strong on both sides of the ball. They got, and I mentioned Leon Gray because Leon Gray is pretty
my
much
cousin,
like
cousin,
he should have been in the Hall of Fame.
True,
but that aside,
that's a 2-hour conversation in and of itself.
He's okay.
Later.
He don't have three. He may have one Hall of Famer. So that argument is good for cannon fodder and BS, and that's about the extent of it. But he is doing some good things, and don't get me wrong. He's gonna come out firing and fighting. But guess what? Didn't Jackson State used to be Eddie Robinson's whipping boy? You know, it may not be, you know, and the point is simply this. Them some coaching dudes down there this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They got to get by the MEAC first in the MEAC challenge. MEAC done owned them last 6 times.
See, that's being messy, Brady. You didn't have to bring that up.
Hey, Professor, I was around the commissioner, and she put a spell on me.
Okay.
It's not really a spell if you can do it on the field, I guess.
way you look at it, but you know, it's going to be an interesting season, but. Homeboy, even though he got more talent than he's been having, you're talking about how many freshmen, how many sophomores, and remember, those other teams have been recruiting. They see his style of play. They know how to now. They should know how to meet the offensive aggressiveness as well as the defensive power. So, because see, truth be known, I don't care who you are. The reason you are good on offense and defense is that your defense can turn the ball over to you and your offense can do something with it. You know, not to brag. This is not intended. But remember, the Steelers were good because they had the same guys for 10 years. After 10
That's
years,
right. There was continuity.
All of a sudden, if you know anything about their offense and their defense, and you go back and watch some little games from the last this and last two Super Bowl years, and then the 1980 and 81 when they were beginning to slide out the door, you can see them first those two Super Bowl years, they covered up a whole lot of mistakes. To include,
yes, they
remember the play against Dallas where Blunt got caught with his back turned covering the guy, and Dallas receiver was going to rim the guy.
Yes,
those are the kind of mistakes.
Yeah.
They turn around. Okay, we're gonna run 4 traps, throw a pass, then run 3 more traps, throw a pass, then run 3 more traps. We're in the end zone. That's what they did.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They cleaned up the mistake. Having said that, this was never an issue about the skill of the quarterback. Pittsburgh made their faux pas with black quarterbacks way back when. I'm talking as to how this applies itself now as Eric Satterwhite's in the mix as well, and the fact that you must, if you're going to do this for a living, you can't be a hypocrite. We're going to talk later on about how the Hall of Fame is doing just that. But I say it again. If somebody can't play, you say why. If you say why, you say why within the bounds of the sport. You don't just come up with some shit out the crack of your ass, which ultimately means that you don't like the guy. You say straight up. He can't find his second receiver. His footwork's bad. Something, anything. You know, they're going after this brother because he's expected to get paid. Lamar Jackson is 37-12. That wasn't manufactured. That's real. He may have been aided by great defense, just like Pittsburgh's. He may have been aided like a great, by a great run great run offense, just like Pittsburgh and some other teams. But you cannot argue away 37-12. The kid has won some damn games.
Mike, I think we can sort of sum this up in one fell swoop. Now, Russell Wilson, who's now with the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's been a consistent winner. You know, when Russell Wilson came into the league, you know, we heard the same stories about he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that, whatever. He wound up starting his rookie season. You know, went deep into the playoffs, and then by his second season, he had won a Super Bowl. And if not for some assholery by his own offensive coordinator, he'd have won back-to-back Super Bowls. And he's been a consistent winner in a place in Seattle where he's been. And see, the narrative was always, oh, well, he only wins because they have a great defense. Oh, he only wins because they, you know, whatever.
He doesn't win because they have a great defense.
That's my point, Fred. And see, the thing is, here's the thing. When you look at what he's been able to put up over the years, think about this. He has only had one single solitary vote for MVP. Now, he has put up MVP-type numbers his entire career. And again, he is not, you know, you won't find him in bed with some seven-year-old. You know, he's not out making bad videos. He's not out making terrible videos with Eddie Murphy. He doesn't do bad movies with Master P. He's, you know, now he's married after one of the six most lusted after women in all of America. That's another 2-hour story in and of itself. But the thing is, Russell Wilson checks all the points in regards to being a quote-unquote, dare I say it, field general.
Yes.
But and as we invoke the Bucks sisters for the umpteenth time.
And shout out to Winston-Salem Cheerleaders for being a part of Sierra's video. And I must say, the girls did a great job at HBCU.com. Continue. Continue.
No problem. And I must do my public service announcement that, you know, of course, stalking is still illegal in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But that's just me. But
I'm still retiring. No more cat suits.
That's why we have to do that disclaimer so I don't get that call for in the morning. Do you happen to know a certain blank blank from Richmond, Virginia?
Kathy's not listening.
Let me add this, please. You went on about Russell, and you need to add one thing. Russell Wilson is the greatest bargain in NFL history in terms of a starting quarterback. Matt Flynn was paid $10 million in advance to be Seattle's quarterback after he played one fucked up game in Green Bay.
While the rest of the world tried to figure out who in the entire hell is Matt Flynn, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, Russell Wilson does not fit the grid, though, right? On the topic of the conversation, though, he does not fit the grid. No, on the topic of the conversation of Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is considered SAFE, safe, right, because of how he plays the position, his style of play, he's pocket, he does his thing, you know, and then ultimately speaking, Seattle burnt him and said that the reason they're not winning obviously was him and not Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was the one who should have been out of a job, and Wilson should still be under center in Seattle, right? And so they moved him, and so they put that onus on Wilson. Basically, they said, we lost the Super Bowl, not because of Pete Carroll, because of Russell Wilson. instead of going back to back when you make that kind of decision of a franchise. Because the longevity of a franchise, what Fred was talking about, 10-plus years of stability. You know, we all know that, you know, Mike Tomlin rode the Ben Roethlisberger wagon until there was absolutely no more spokes left, even on the axles, before they made a different decision. You ride what gets you there. You roll as long as you can with what works in the NFL. So they dumped Wilson ultimately. Jackson does not fit this grid in this conversation in the sense that, in a comparison standpoint, because, one, the one thing that he has in common with Colin Kaepernick, they're both coached by a guy named Harbaugh. Kaepernick was literally illegal. They wiped out the read option that he went for 171 yards against the Packers
in the
playoffs. That was lethal. Kaepernick was lethal.
Along with
Jeff Fisher. Right, and the rest of the league. Jeff Fisher was the point man, but he was, you know, all those other guys ballyhooed and wrote with him to get the league, the rule changed. So the point being is Harbaugh of Baltimore is really the nemesis to the NFL because he said, F it, we're going to buy Flacco, we're going with Jackson in this kind of style. And we're going to play this kind of football, right? Now, what he had in common with his brother, he knew how to implement Jackson's rush style outside that rule book so they can't make that illegal anymore, right? So he's basically playing like Cap used to play under the guy's rule book, but he's a better roller than Kaepernick. So Kaepernick got what's called illegal, and then they knew his style enough to know that he came back a few years later wearing a black shield, and quarterbacks can't wear a black shield in the NFL. Receivers, linemen, defensive backs, but not a quarterback because they could target his eyes. He's still locked into where he was throwing the rock.
Right.
So Harbaugh, the dude at the gym, he wiped that out with the read option, just made it absolutely illegal. So Lamar plays with underneath the new rules without the read option, and is that effective and unstoppable where he really doesn't need, you know, a high-level receiver. So he's 37-12, and it's not all defense. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That's carrying them there. That is not the Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens on defense.
God, no.
They still got some
no.
hardcore dudes. They still got some strong dudes. So Jackson Style got outside the auspices of being able to coach defensively. And you can win any kind of way you want to in the National Football League. You don't like the sideline pictures of him and how he wears his hair. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't like, you know, how he comports himself and shit. You know what I mean? That's the leader of a team. But he was the best player in the league. But the thing is that, you know, the commonality of how they use him. See, Wilson, you know, he did his thing, but, you know, again, you know, he went for Super Bowl MVP instead of handing off the ball to Marshawn, which is a price in that. You know, I mean, there's no getting around that. You know what I mean? But, you know, it doesn't take away from him being a good quarterback. An outstanding quarterback ever. But he is not – the Lamar Jackson refrain does not apply to him and Russell Wilson. It's totally a different ether, totally different spectrum. Yes. Completely. Their play style, attack style, leadership style. They say what? This coordinator allegedly says what? Jackson draws, you know, plays in the sand, you know, free football or some shit.
Eric, you know the one thing that brings them together. Unfortunately,
what is
it's
that?
Like the line. It's like the line from Soldier Story. They hate them both. They still.
Well,
hate them both.
I'm not rating in the dislike. You know, one way or the other, right? We understand that thing is. So these brothers excel at an extremely high level, under all the levels of scrutiny. But Jackson even more. So I would argue that Jackson has had less weapons than Russell.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
No question. We've gone from the bargain of $500,000, $750,000 to, okay, pay me. Wilson got his money, and now Jackson at 37-12 is at the pay me status.
Correct.
Carson Wentz, who still ain't shit, got his money after 13 fucking games. Nobody said boo.
Throw Garoppolo in there too.
The porn star got his money before he even got on the field. Kirk Cousins got guaranteed money for 3 seasons without even having to take a snap. So why? Not W, not X. But why is this brother having to die on the vine and endure this bullshit from people who probably have never played before. I got Patrick Farr in the mix as well. Patrick, can you hear me again?
It's about, it's the narrative. It's the narrative.
How many black egos do I have out? Two. Okay.
Yeah, back to that. And Lovey Smith was totally a concession.
Three. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Hey, Patrick, what do you think that the Snyder's going to steal the franchise? If the commissioner's going to sell this for 1 year, Danny Snyder used to steal the franchise now.
First of all, good evening, you fellas.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I could say so much, but I ain't. we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens with that. There are things that I'm looking into or something I'm working on that I can get a better phase on it to give something conclusive, not perspective.
Well, the decision is supposed to come down, like, pretty much by the end of the week, or what are they talking about?
Yeah, that much. But, you know, my I will say from a personal perspective, and we've talked about it, and why I'm trying to maintain some kind of composure of Goodell becoming judge, jury, and executioner over the judge, and then get somebody who I know very well. I know the attorney that that's ruling is. I know Attorney Harvey very well, personally, and I know there's a side. Plus, he's an HBCU man, Morgan State. I'm interested to see what he's going to do. That's all. But lastly, I'll say this: the reason I'm holding my composure because I've said it for the last couple of months. If they mess with him. When they mess with him, be prepared for the players union to come at him, and heaven help when John Gruden begins to talk.
About the year. The year is about already a year. Nobody said a word about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said anything about that.
One complete year.
Know something else about this? When Snyder went before Congress last week, it's been said that information on the situation in Washington goes back 10 years of following women.
Yep.
Following women, having set up dates with women,
yep.
Approach women, and taking them in the office. I mean, there are things that they got, and yep. They're going to deal with it. Him? Oh,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff that's not going to come out until a lot of this crap is in. You know, Mike,
the one thing that that also, to me, gets lost in regards to this, you know, about the year, remember, the Hopkins trade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that, you know, we all know that the head of the moral majority, head coach Bill O'Neill, basically orchestrated that whole Hopkins thing. Now, look, again, no one's trying to justify sexual assault and all the other stuff. I don't really feel like we need to keep saying it that way, but I guess it's best that we do. But that
you do.
Said,
you need to say it. You need to say
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. You need to say it. It's just being respectful.
Yeah.
In other words, it's just being respectful. You know what I mean? I mean,
exactly.
It really, to me,
exactly.
It's not like you're taking a side, but that's called respect.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with that being said, remember, one of the things that precipitated all of this was that Watson demanded a trade.
The money. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
right. That's gotten lost. In the sauce here. Now, again, I'm not saying he's doing crazy stuff because he wanted a trade, but again, follow, you know, follow the entire story. Follow, no, please, that's okay.
Everybody forgets that. That's the thing.
Yeah, let me jump in real quickly on that. The thing, though, that's got to be considered is that, you know, when Tiger Woods, you know, was doing this thing, then all of a sudden, you know, they had TMZ fever, National Enquirer fever, video footage, photos, lobby shots, you know, elevator shots.
Even the Enquirer all of a sudden became a reputable organization.
Yeah,
because,
don't forget the
Waffle
House.
Right, because there you go, the Waffle House. There you go, because they had the intel. Because they had the intel.
Yeah.
I mean, there's video evidence, there's physical pictures, and it all happened like, you know, this man's, you know, personal experience and whatever he was, you know, electing to do, all congealed in a week with all that data, which means they know your style. They've been sitting on this on Deshaun, and like once he got up, and okay, fuck it, let it rip. And now it's 100 pages in 24 hours. No one builds that much data, that much input, unless they know your peccadillos and sound. So oftentimes when you would talk to some jock and cats that come up and going into that realm of sports, I would share to them up front like, yo, you're going to have to play squeaky clean.
Listen.
You know, because if you don't do the squeaky, if you don't do the squeaky clean, they're going to get the intel, and then you're going to get compromised when they say, hey, here's your story. You know, either you play ball or we drop the tapes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that happens all the time.
That's
why Andre Johnson spoke up. Andre Johnson had been a good soldier in Houston for years. And I got D. Orlando Ledbetter in the mix as well for us. Happy birthday, D. And congratulations on your work with NABJ. But we're talking about the fact that Lamar Jackson is on the last year of his rookie contract. We know he's going to get paid. We know he's done the work. We know he's had the success. He's stepped his game up from year to year. And now another big check has to be written. Firstly, is he worth it? Secondly, who was the son of a bitch that said, I don't care how many MVPs he has, I don't like him, or he's not good enough? And good evening to everybody again.
Give me a little mic.
No, I'm here.
Can
you brother hear me? Yeah. No, repeat your question. I didn't realize that was for me. So.
Mike, repeat your question, please.
Basically, in a nutshell, Lamar Jackson's contract is up. They're playing the usual games of should he get it, should he not get it. And
No. You know that.
Oh, Lord. Gary, tongue firmly in cheek here. Come on now, you got to.
But see,
what's so sad is that we could go back 3-4 years ago. They were saying the same thing about Cam when my future father-in-law Patrick Mahomes got his money. And the same thing, you know, was he? Hey, after Seattle basically gave him a 200% raise after going to back-to-back Super Bowls, was he worth the money? It's like clockwork. And see, it's every year around this time, after they've anointed the five most white quarterbacks in the league, whenever you get these black quarterbacks that take it to the next level, all of a sudden
there's questions. Because, see, here's the thing. We go back to what we said earlier. We have the list of the teams, of the 10 quarterbacks, of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league starting that have the best winning percentages. Half of them are non-white.
Okay.
Half of them are there. And there are folks, even as progressive and whatever as the NFL tries to be, and they have no problem. They have no problem, putting, end racism on the helmets, but they'll still make sure that they have racism in the locker rooms and in the boardrooms. But that's all another story.
Yeah, that's what really counts.
If they can push if they can keep pushing their narrative, that's what they'll do, and they'll anoint these nameless, faceless guys to do their work. Because Mike, I'm willing to bet you, much like the lackey from before, Mr. Milwaukee, this guy will probably surface somewhere working for the league. I mean, it's clockwork. It's clockwork the way this stuff happens. You could literally look up something 5 years ago today, and they're beating up some brother quarterback. It doesn't matter. That's the sad part about it.
It's year after year.
But this just shows more of their stubbornness, because, see, here's the thing. These guys will put money in their pocket. And now, granted, we all know the NFL ain't walked away from it, has never walked away from any kind of check. But, even they have a little Danny Ferry in them, or who's the GM for Atlanta? Yeah, we're doing all right, but I don't like seeing all these black people here.
That's right. That was the owner. Wasn't that the owner who said that?
Yeah, it was the owner.
It was the ownership.
It was the owner.
Trying to get more white faces into the stadium, maybe sell less fried chicken or sweet tea.
But they always made sure that they put in enough Master P and Lil Wayne in between timeouts, though. See,
I always spend the entertainment, right? The fiddlers, the dancers. I always put the entertainment factor. You can shuck and jive and buck your eyes forever. That's always going to be accepted.
Exactly. There's a shirt that I see online all the time, and it applies to either entertainment, it applies to sports, it applies to politics, it applies to the business world. They want our rhythm, but they damn sure don't want our blues. Mm.
See, now we get both. We get the rhythm. We get the rhythm and the blues. That's a double.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's the double blues. There's another layer to this. Cincinnati makes it to the Super Bowl. So now they have the All-Star game or the All-Fame game, whatever the fuck they want to call that game. And Cincinnati's sports writers have got to be on point. You got one guy in the Hall of Fame, Munoz. But you had a guy next to him, Max Montoya, who was a pretty good guard. You had a defensive back who's got the third or fourth most interceptions lifetime.
Who should be in?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at?
Michael.
The room. Where you at?
Michael, there's another also overlooked player who played on the other side, named Lamar Parrish. Remember him?
Yep.
That's two.
Who should be in?
Correction. Mm-hmm. Who should have been in years ago? Mm-hmm. They have not gotten. Yep. Each one of them have been retired over 20 years. And not one has gotten any better over 20 years. Why aren't they there? And then they're still putting in some of these also ran who had rules changed so they would look good, and they still are not in.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say about Brady.
But see, That could be why they're not getting good defensive backs now, because they didn't respect them then. Because, you know, and as a Steeler, I don't care. I enjoy seeing the corners getting roasted. But I digress.
But Fred, let me say this, Fred. You know something? You know who the blame for that is? The Bengals organization. That's who the blame
for. There you go. Absolutely.
Well, I mean it's turned into lobbyists, right? You need lobbyists and all this to lobby your way and, you know, collect votes. I mean, you look at the recent class, and to your point, Leroy Butler, I mean, I can't see where he rates with Ken Riley as a player. I mean, Leroy Butler.
I met him. But
you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at
– But he hauled him
good. I mean, obviously he's good, but, I mean, Richard Seymour and Too Tall Jones, I mean, you know, I mean, what is this?
Yeah. I was proud of Seymour, too. And see what's worse is, guys, and I was talking to Mike about this now, the guys that actually saw Kenny and Lamar and Kenny Anderson, who deserves to get in as well.
Yep.
All these guys are either dead or don't have the pull for the Hall of Fame vote. And see, if you leave it up to this generation, we will be waiting forever.
For example, Cliff Branch should have been in before Drew Pearce.
Oh, Jesus, my goodness.
You know.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? I mean, Drew Pearson was good, but, you know, I mean, Cliff Branch, even before Swat.
Please.
Statistically, right.
What they should do is Fred Biletnikoff should have left the lobby for putting him in.
Correct.
Yeah, really.
That's
another thing. I think I've been screaming this for years, whether it's the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Base Basketball Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball or Pro Football, every living Hall of Famer should be voting on those yearly teams. They should have a vote. I would much rather hear somebody that actually slinged and binged and played as opposed to somebody who's working on an agenda, trying to tell you stuff that they, 'cause what bothers me the most about the guys now is it's the laziness. Because Ken Riley was just as much of a Hall of Famer the day he played his last game as opposed to now. It's not like anything miraculously changed in the last, you know, what was it, almost 20-something years since he played his last game. That's the silliness of these Hall of Fame.
Cliff Harris was a contemporary when Riley was playing, and I'm still seeing Cliff Harris getting torched by Charlie Taylor and the Steelers, and Jack Lambert slamming them to the turf after a mixed field goal by Jarella. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, Cliff Harris cannot play to the level of Riley and Parrish as well, but they were contemporaries. He played during the same time frame. You know, he recently went in. And then Cliff Harris still shouldn't be above Too Tall Jones as well as a Cowboy, because games played, career Cowboy statistics, very few. I think, what's that, the tight end, Witten? He was the only one that passed in terms of games played for a Cowboy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that whole Dallas, and then, you know, he's the only HBCU player. Maybe his curse is he's the only HBCU player to ever go number one overall in the draft, you know, when Landry took him out of Tennessee State. Overall number one.
Technically, he was second.
Who was first?
Buck Buchanan.
AFL draft. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Bucks get because the AFL.
No, but
I know what you're saying.
Hold on. I'm not going to take away from Bucks. But we know what that is, right? You know, in terms of what is considered so-called official. I mean, I'm not going to take anything from Bugsy. Not my pedigree, right? So Bugsy Kennedy gets all the respect. But, again, I'm going to stay with that quote. And so the thing being is, you know, with all that being said, it's like the players that are coming in, these, some of these players are coming in who are contributors. Like Howard Carmichael, they had him iced forever until he eventually went in. You know, Otis Taylor is sitting out there iced. You know, and part of that Kansas City Chiefs squad. So, you know what I mean? And, you look at it.
And you know what some of the criteria that these current clowns are using? They're using, first of all, did they win a Super Bowl?
What? Mm-hmm.
That's the crust that pisses me off. Did they win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Wait.
Because that's the case. Because, Patrick, if that's the case, get rid of Tarkenton. Get rid of all four of the Buffalo Bills that are in there as well.
Yep.
I mean, Tony,
get rid of Tony Baselli, who just went in. You know, get rid of him. Right, we could go right into the most recent classes. He's got to go. Art McAnally, one of the referees and shit. I mean, you know,
I understand why they put him in. Patrick,
two words, goat's milk. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, then you have the ultimate indignity. You have Bob Kraft being up for a Hall of Fame. He was in the not-so-nappy dugout in those massage parlors during Super Bowl years. What are they going to give him an award for?
And Mike, take that video of that clown.
Well, I mean, not only does he have, you know, express tickets to Epstein's Island as well, but that's another story.
Let's be real. What is the difference if we're supposed to believe all the degenerate things that we've heard about Mr. Watson? What is the difference between Mr. Watson and Mr. Kraft?
One's a
one.
Now, you can't come up there and win no coat boy against no white boy. It just don't work.
Sorry, I'm doing it. I'm doing it anyway.
The rules are different. One's just a millionaire, and the other one is a billionaire.
That's right.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, one is to help. And one is the corporatocracy.
Pretty
the corporatocracy
much.
Lasts longer than the help. They replace them all the time.
But the freakiness lasts forever.
Well, you know, I mean, and unfortunately with Deshaun,
if you don't play in the nappy dugout, I don't mind. Just call spade a spade. Don't say Terrell Owens is morally bereft and hold him back for 2 years. When you got the owner of the Patriots getting his dick sucked at a massage parlor. I'm sorry. Something about that does not jive.
Well, Mike, you've just taken 2 hours off of my sleep tonight now, so with that image. But thank you very much.
Well, the justification is that was one incident, you know, Deshaun's got 199 plus.
You've got 199 problems, and one of them has evidence
along with video. Somehow, some way, the video seemingly has become this place for Mr. Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, everything anyway.
So, Fred, you're telling me the Patriots didn't take that?
I've never known
the Patriots never not to tape anything like that.
Remember, who is it? Secret Service lost emails and probably video and all that thing.
They're still trying to find JFK's brain, aren't they?
You know. I was in a conversation with someone, and that was one thing. Well, you know, how much tape is missing from the Kennedy shooting? And he said, "Well, I can't pronounce." He said, "I can't pronounce the Pruder, fuck, whatever that Z guy means was. Some of the video from when Reagan got shot turned up missing.
Mary Jo Woods is a busy little woman, isn't she?
And the killer is, guys, like we had talked about before, they won't even, the NFL won't even let the emails go to be looked at Congress. Wait a minute. You're taking money and taking a guy to court, paying $30 million in selling cases, but you got information on owners that you won't even let them look at it.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
It was known Stern was running the NBA, right? Stern said he would tell media people, you know, these people are off limits. The owners, he can talk about GMs, he can talk about the players, he can talk about team presidents, he can't talk about the owners. You know, that's the mandate. You know, that's the mandate because he works for the owners.
Now if TMZ was stalking the current Clipper owner as opposed to the previous Clippers owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with Sterling they just wanted him out, you know, they came up with
Matter of fact, I think that story is gonna be written, there's gonna be a second chapter to that story written with an NFL
Phoenix
version.
The Suns owner's he's the next on the clink. You know what I mean? Because of, he's next on the clink. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get away from the theme of attribution, because when the steroids issue was getting hotter and hotter, and there were certain guys that they were getting close to, Cal Ripken, Jeff Bagwell, that they were saying might be taking steroids, they accused Big Papi. And Ortiz jumped in everybody's ass and said, who did it? Who said it? Tell me what I took. He demanded attribution, and everybody backed the fuck up. That's what we're talking about. If you're going to say something, put your name on it. No one at BASN has ever denied putting their name on a marquee or on their John Henry on an article saying, yes, I wrote this, yes, I researched this, yes, I said it, if it came down to saying it.
If you like it, you should put a ring on it. All the if that clown that said what he said about Lamar comes out, he probably won't have a job.
He's
going to keep his mouth shut.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have been following what was going on at Oklahoma University earlier.
They said everything but the word. He called somebody a nigga, and that did. You know, okay, then your butt got to go.
His crime, but you got to remember though, his crime again, the crime wasn't actually saying it. The crime was actually getting caught. Because, see, that's the thing. It's never about saying it. They don't have a problem with you saying it. But, see, everybody gets treated like the guy. Everybody gets treated like Peter Phelps. This tape will self-destruct. And, oh, by the way, if you try to say that you with the IMF, we will give the secretary disallow knowledge of your ass.
Fuck yeah.
So that's basically
Buddy Ryan. Yeah, the great buddy Ryan literally told Dave Durson he don't like smart niggas.
Exactly.
You know, literally told him that.
That's right.
He's a Notre Dame cat. He told Durson, I need you to run defense, but I don't like smart niggas. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. You know, and so that language has been in the NFL locker room many times. I know a cat told me, well, I'll just might as well say it. You know, it was with the 49ers, and he said the way that he jumped into Claude Humphrey for being late one time was embarrassing. This guy's about a 5'8 white dude, was just giving it to him, you know what I mean, you know, about certain things that he found just very indignant and condescending, you know. But that's that credo, you know, how they would talk about athletes, you know, grab the face mask, cower, spitting in your grill, rush the quarterback. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just what, that's that realm.
Eric, that's like the conditions of Iowa. That Urban, I don't know what Urban got the drinkers and juice going to hire him. That guy was doing the same thing.
That goes back, you know, that's a long standing tradition, Frank Kush, you know, Woody Hayes, all them guys. You know,
Kareem, as Lou Alcindor, Power Memorial, talked about his high school coach to stop playing like a nigga. Like a nigga. He said Kareem, you know, Kareem was like, yo, taken aback at that, you know, at that particular time. But that language was there, you know, all the time. So in other words, that's how they see a jock. And we've said this many times. They study your style. They know your weakness. You know, and, I mean, Phil Jackson told one of his weaker Laker teams, all you guys are interested in is Xbox and porn. Literally told him on the team bus. No pushback.
They are now in the era of NIL. So some of these assholes who are coaching – that thinks they means Negro insults are legal. We're not having that shit. You're gonna have to say something and come correct. It's not about political correctness. You're supposed to be correct from the very fucking beginning. I don't wanna hear that shit. And if you want your job and keep your job, you shouldn't be saying that shit. It's not
Let me give you an example. USC, right? It's a prestigious university, correct?
University of Spoiled Children, absolutely.
USC, okay. The USC.
Located in Watts, California.
Yeah.
will not punish coaches that say that. That's the problem.
They know.
What's done here, it's said here, stays here. And when you break that code, then you are left out on your own.
In Philadelphia, in the Big Five Conference, St. Joseph's and their coach, Phil Martelli, he was a piece of shit. And he used to say nigga all the time. His son was doing coaching sessions when he got caught saying the same thing. He tried to play contrite after the fact, but he got stone cold busted. He's nowhere to be found now. Now, it ain't going to be none of that crap around here. If you get caught, you get caught. There's too much money at stake.
So, yeah, Phil Martelli's Juwan Howard's assistant coach in Michigan.
Yes.
And that's exactly where he's going to stay.
And he had a come to Jesus moment.
Right here in North Carolina, we had a situation 2 years back where one of the guys at UNC broke the code. And they maligned this joker out of basketball. But he was Steve Nashville. And it was one of the situations where he played for Carolina, his sister played for Carolina. And the coach at the time made a comment about how this guy's parents were always interfering with the team and all this kind of thing. Well, I mean, Asheville is only, what, 3.5-4 hours away? How are they going to have jobs and do that? But the gist of it is they have a built-in system because, see, so many people who are in sports writing, news reporting in North Carolina are graduates of the University of North Carolina School of Journalism. It's, you know, the same school of journalism that had invited the young lady down but was not going to grant her tenure. When they gave tenure to Chushan Boys and everything else, that's the University of North Carolina. There's so much wrong with the program there that was quote unquote normal, that nobody wants to address anything that we did wrong. And because I always think of the fact they had this guy named Kenny Williams, that everybody in North Carolina knows he wasn't going to graduate except for Dean Smith. And, you know, it's basic math. If you're in your senior season, you have 11 credits, you're taking four, you're required to have 16, where certain ones certain subjects have to be part of that, and then you're plunking one of the four, one of the ones you're carrying, so you drop that, which means you're going to come up at least 2 credits short.
Mm-hmm.
Or state, or based on just basic state and academia. So how is he going to graduate? You're going to take one subject in summer school. How are you going to graduate? But Dean Smith was, he said he didn't know.
Obviously, it ain't a priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is thank God for Hubert Davis's wife. Thank God for Hubert Davis.
That is right. Damn. Thank God for his white man. Dumbass.
Ain't she pretty? Ain't she pretty, everybody? Ain't she pretty?
But, gentlemen, also remember this. Remember a few prophets, even in the last 10 years, they had this fiasco where this brother had set up this African-American history classes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all the players were going to it. You know, athletes were going there to get basically 3 credit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes out, that's an academic problem. That's an academic situation. We have no say in academia year, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, we just want to have a respectable enough university to make the bet, to make the football team proud, pretty much.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, truth be known, there are people who follow the Tar Heels who would tell you they really don't have a football program. They place their women's basketball above football here. You see, I'm still trying to figure out how Rasheed Wallace, quote, has a degree from Carolina. He went there, he basically dropped out of school after the NCAA tournament. He's not known for going, they have this thing where they call it comeback in the summer to play basketball.
A lot of schools got that.
And they've been doing that for years. But at the same time, though, you don't say nothing about him coming back going to class. But he's a coach. Mm. He's a coach somewhere.
Yeah. He has a bunch of where he's at.
He actually got a street in Philly dedicated after him about a couple weeks ago.
Rasheed Wallace Way, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, go on, bro.
But
okay,
this whole issue.
No, I'm just
started,
for information purposes.
I got to remind everybody, this whole issue, in my mind, is much to do about nothing. They gave Patrick Mahomes $500 million. I would say, even before he takes another step, Patrick Mahomes has paid the Kansas City Chiefs back with interest.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Made the Super Bowl almost every damn year he's been involved. Merchandise, Chiefs went up from 29th. Chiefs went up from 29th to inside 5th. This guy's making the team money hand over fist.
His contract is one fifth of the profit. That's all it is.
Pretty much.
They're 75% plus. They're not losing money giving him that contract.
Absolutely.
They're profiting hand over fist.
As soon as the Chiefs get their TV money back from the contract, they are already up over $200 million because Patrick Mahomes' contract is covered. And they don't dare say anything about him because Patrick knows what time it is. They give it to him. He's a sharp kid. Maybe because he knew what his father was doing.
Just the merch sales alone for the Chiefs.
Thank you.
Been there.
Merch alone.
I mean, so what they're breaking him off is laughable considering what the profit is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of us have been around athletics enough to know, okay, we're talking football and basketball primarily. If there is a player who is making however how many views there is, because, you know, they got the scale where if you've been there so many years, because I know Bazemore, they used to play for the Lakers, just got broke off by some other people for just 1 year, a whole heap of money. Well, his whole heap of money, we'll just say $4-5 million. He's making plenty. That tells you that his quote owner is making millions. And after that second set of videos, it really don't matter anymore. What goes in front of it?
It's a tax dump, that salary. It's depreciation. It's a tax dump. That's a W-2 salary. He's not getting 1099 that much. So that FICO, that Social Security, and all those other deductions are MFR. I mean, they are coming out.
But see, there it is, though. If he's making billions, the owner's making billions.
Well said. Absolutely. That's the whole point. Correct.
And so at the end of the day, they got their money. And then, you know, because
the owners will always get it.
Because the house, right? The house always wins. Impacted the franchise value of the Chiefs. How many national TV games do they get with Mahomes than they were getting before Mahomes?
None.
Bingo.
Exactly.
None. So he's worth every dime. Like you said, he made that money back. They put it. He made it.
Yeah, I mean, they got the money. I mean, well, look at it this way, right? Just because they kind of bring it down to real sale. Because if a person's been a W-2 employee for 40K a year most of their life, this shit seems like, you know, astronomical stuff to them, right? But it's all math. Mm-hmm. If you look at it from the standpoint of like Mayweather's take, right, or per fight, right, the pay per view percentages that you get—that's the key for them. Those pay-per-views, right? That's where he makes
his
money.
That's the back end.
That's everything. That's everything. The front end is, for the fight, right? You get the contract. But the pay-per-views, though, is just the Chiefs. I think it was remember the Pacquiao fight, how they were even controlling bars, would have to pay for the fight because they could really cut off. They were cutting off the juice feed for bars. So if people didn't want to pay for the price of the Pacquiao fight, they go to their local watering hole. Well, guess what? If that watering hole didn't cover like an exponential fee to cover extra people coming in there and have to pay exponential money, as if you get 20 different viewers to pay for that fee, you didn't get the feed. You didn't get the feed at all. They had that level of control over it because that's where the money came in. So Art Heyman and those dudes who run it behind the scenes never see his face, a brother out of Harvard. He runs that whole show. So the thing is with Heyman, what they're making, they're giving Floyd chicken feed on what they make. So if Floyd gets $100 million on the fight and shit, that ain't nothing for what the net was on the pay per view and the gate. So the percentage they gave Floyd to a person just looks at it individually, it's a big check. Floyd just shows his check and it stacks some money. Yeah, of course. I mean that's legitimate. That still ain't the net, man. That's not what the real money was. Those are in the casinos and all the places who racked up on the bets and shit. That's why Floyd was stacking his own bets. He was tripling his money betting on himself. You know, even though the odds were, like, high against him, he had to bet, like, five mil just to make a mil because he was always the favorite. You know, It could have meant more money than that, but he always won because he bet on himself, which he could do in Vegas, right? And so the thing is, and so his boys would bet on him and shit. They'd get a whole pot together. But it goes on and on. But whatever Floyd makes, it's not what the real money makers, man, the people that pay that pay-per-view, the ones who provided that service, and then the ones running the show. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they were 10 times the money Mayweather made. But mm-hmm. if you lock in on Floyd, that's a deception. It's like if we lock in on Mahomes, man, the Hunt family is just getting cream, crazy yeah. cream off Mahomes.
You can't ignore numbers. And KC
that ownership
has proven.
Is deceit, man. Yeah, that ownership is deceit. You want to play ball, get that ownership seat. The players, we know it's going to come and go. You know what I mean? You're going to get your time. You're going to make your money. So what does Patrick do? He invested with the Royals, right? He put some money with the Royals mm-hmm. and shit. Because
yeah.
he's smart enough to see the longevity in ownership. Okay. Well, the guy's
KC
playing ball. Magic figured that out. Magic figured out hanging out with Jerry Buss.
That's right. KC became a small market, which made big market money. That's the best way you can describe it. That's why $500 million to KC from Mahomes was nothing.
Take a seat.
They're operating at a profit. As simple as that.
Season six since Mahomes showed up. Merch.
When do we become the people that run the team? 220 teams in America. I mean, three or four black owners. Come
there
on,
it is.
Man.
There it is. That's the move, man. I mean, that's the power move. And the cats that got in, like Bob Johnson and them, you know, and they didn't know how to play ball. They gave them a bullshit market in Charlotte, you know what I mean, which really is not doing anything. Fred talks about the Carolina thing. I had new people who worked
mm-hmm.
in who works under the Johnson organization in their front offices. And my goodness, man, they talked about Bob Johnson, man. You know, at a level you thought, you know, as just being the chintziest person on the planet Earth and didn't have a clue about anything about money, movement, management, building a squad. He just wanted to name a team out called Bob's Cats, you know, the Bobcats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are Bob's Cats. So, let's just call them the Bobcats. They're all ego stuff, right? But the thing is, it's like getting that piece of the pie on that ownership thing. That's why some of these dudes like A-Rod, you know, who got a piece of the Timberwolves. You know, A-Rod
mm-hmm.
made crazy jack when he was a player, right? He signed all those large contracts when he was an active player. But then if you look at his contract in comparison to Mahomes and inflation and everything, it's pretty comparable. You know, when he got broken
mm-hmm.
off by the Rangers, right? But
mm-hmm.
even after it's all said and done, guys like that who get on that scale, they realize, I got to get on this ownership tip. You know, Mahomes investing in Kansas City, A-Rod, you know, hooking up with Minnesota. That's where the game is played, man. You know, the jock on the field, we've had a zillion of those, and we can wax poetic forever. Broken body shields, yo, man, what can you do long-time legacy and build out back on that thing and turn that dollars? And like I said, that's one thing Irvin Johnson figured out when he hung out with Jerry Buss.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mike, I've said it for years. I'll say it again. For X player to make X amount of money, the owners are having to bring in X. I mean, so many X's that even Vanessa Del Rio won't lush.
There's reasons why. These NFL teams like the Hunt family, they're never selling the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, absolutely.
They're the original owners. Jerry Jones, you know, come on. He's going to give it to his kids, and they're going to run the ball forever. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Kroenke out there in L.A., the Davises, I mean, come on. We can all look at Al Davis Jr. and see he ain't the brightest, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But he's out there. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. You know? I mean, once he took that team to Vegas, the cha-ching is continue the cha-ching. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not the snarper. That's why they keep those things in the family, that generational wealth. Most teams in the NFL, they're not flipping those teams, man. And what happened with Irvin Johnson, these things I can speak to directly a little bit. When he was with the Lakers, you know, and Buss was like, yeah, I'll give you a piece, you know, when your player's day's over because you're like my son, woo, woo, woo. Then when he got out and he realized that he's just going to be a small percentage owner, that he was never going to relinquish ownership other than his family, you know, his sons and his daughter, Jenny Buss, and them. That's when he bounced out and sold his share, got in with the Lakers and done some other things as well because he realizes that, and with the Dodgers, took his Lakers cut so to get his Dodgers cut, you know, get in on the Dodgers game plan, which is the profit-making machine down there. And so the thing is, those players who were working at the highest breadth of the game, they realized that after it's said and done, because they were just a piece of the chessboard as a player, it's all about the ownership for the real loot in professional sports. Everything else is mythology. You're just another buck on the field. They're going to keep churning out athletes. These colleges are going to keep churning out drafts. They're going to keep churning out players. Longevity in sports is in management and ownership, not on the playing field.
That ain't changed. That's never changed.
And that's why when you come into a forum like this, for those who are enlightened and these young people who want to talk do careers in sports, they like to say, okay, what's the game plan afterwards? Because this shit's going to be over, bro. What's the game plan? At the highest level you can play on, you can't do more than Magic to the Fresh. Shaq's got a piece of the Sacramento Kings. You know what I'm saying? And so these guys, they realize these things when it's over, but they have a game plan. So I talked to a player, I don't care how high the level he played at, what's the aftermath? How are we going to use all these years and his experience to get the real loot as opposed to hearing just people just shoot out all these numbers of millions and billions where the only ones making that is a few owners and the television network and the television executive?
They will never know. It looks like Alex Rodriguez is doing all right now, but can you imagine just how well he would have done if he had hit one more home run than Barry Bonds? The clause was in his contract. There's no question about it. And on top of that, a white Hispanic, he'd have been El Gran Spit, and the history books would have been rewritten. They would have been rewritten just for his certification.
Cooperation.
Being the home run king. And that too.
I mean, there were some extra divots, but at least, you know, you did enough with your loot to kind of recirculate it, reinvest it, and repool it, and then to turn it into something on a level of upper tier management level where you can kind of direct the direction of a franchise and get those revenues, man, get those revenue streams and do that. Then sell your percentage when you're ready and shit once the franchise value goes up or maintain it and create the generational wealth. And so the concept here is the longevity thing because all these – we can talk about all the great ball players you can mention. You know, we can wax poetic, but then it comes a point in time we see these guys circling back, old-timers day and shit, you know, announcing, show up to the All-Star weekends, do a little fundraiser here, a little fundraiser there, get their retirement here, but they didn't max the opportunity in so many cases. That's the reality.
As much as we're ridiculing Mr. Snyder, one of the main reasons why he doesn't have a problem with this dragging out is because the price goes up every day.
When he finally
says, "Okay, I'm done," there's gonna be a price tag. There's gonna be a price attached to it.
You better believe it's gonna be a price tag.
It goes beyond that. Because at some point, they're going to make a move on the Merc, as you all call it. The team is still the team. People are going to start buying into this whole new team, what they call them, Commanders now. Here locally, we call them Douglas Byrd High School because their uniform look just like Douglas Byrd playing. On the side of the helmet, almost nondescript. That's Douglas Byrd. That's like the team that used to be the Redskins. And so now he's going to get paid big time because they're going to go back and actually start truly selling this stuff. All they're going to need to do is make the playoffs this year, and then people are going to be buying their merchandise left and right, hand over fist, however you want to call it.
Well, wow. Dan Snyder is going to get triple money.
Unfortunately, that jerk will get paid in the process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because the newer generation, they're going to link to the new flavor. The Redskins is a thing of the past already. You know, I mean, that's already right now in the United States, 75% of the population is 25 and younger. You know what I mean? So that's the truth.
5 years ago.
That generation is your buyer's market. They understand buying. They understand investing. They understand financing. I mean, very well. I mean, within the black community, crypto, all that stuff, man. You know, they had this thing in Atlanta recently called it Invest Fest, where it's all about, you know, brothers and sisters networking financially, investing, doing things. Man, that thing was sold out. No Ghetto Fest, no Lakeside concert. They went there to empower minds and know how to grow income and grow money. You know what I'm saying? I work with a lot of brilliant. So I'm very, very brilliant about this thing. And so the mindset's different. So if you can't get into that crowd, you're dated. You know what I mean? So the thing is, yeah, they do the demographic search, and they send the same thing like the Cleveland Guardians, all that. People not want to care about, you know, Bob Feller in the 50s and shit. So they'll pick it up on the Guardian. So these teams do the market research, and they're going to put that into more revenue.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned the Guardians. Their TV numbers and their attendance is down, but give it time. It's the first year. You know, it's like that old motto in the business world. Most businesses lose most of their money those first 2 to 3 years. Let's see where the Guardians are in 4 or 5 years from now. Same thing with the Commandos.
Yeah, it all shifts. I mean, to stay in power, you have all they have to do is put together a little bit of winning season. Like the Padres are selling out hand over fist right now. You know, I mean, they were doing good before, but not like they're doing now. You know, because they're doing their revenue. So you're gonna have those old guard Cleveland fans because they've been there forever. You know, that's gonna lock into that. Those are the same people that follow the Jim Brown Browns. They've had sports so long there, but it's a shift in the equation, but remember, you know, the odds favor the demographics. The demographics are young.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It always does.
It favors the demographics, exactly. And if you can't flow with the demographics, it's dated. You know what I'm saying? So these people bring that into the play, and that's what's happening right now. But again, these younger people, I mean, especially ones who are curious and interested, I mean, some of them really intrigue me, you know, with some of the questions they ask and, you know, their fascination and their knowingness and their flexibility to want to learn things. They see things from an ownership mentality, not just being, they see it where the generation did not leave them enough auspices to start thinking and pushing entrepreneurial type spirit. And that's what they kind of want to do, because they can see many, regardless of the motif that they're using, they can see many of their generations, be it they're in the so-called music industry, some of these people generate millions, you know what I'm saying, right away. So they don't see it as a cap and limitation mindset as many other generations do. They got the courage and they got the heart to step up, you know what I'm saying? And like I always said, you know, it was very tragic what happened to Emmett Till, but he was the bravest motherfucker in the state of Mississippi. He was cussing them crackers out when they picked him up, when nobody else was stepping up, walking on the other side of the street. He was cussing them out, I'm better than you MFers, calling them bastards and shit in his last day of his years. He had the courage. That's what spooked them crackers, you know, when they drove him around for 75 miles and he didn't jump out the back of the truck. They were like, what's wrong with him? He should have been gone. He called them punks. He figured they weren't going to do any damn thing. He paid the price for it, but it was a price of courage. That's something that where everybody else was doing the step and fetching and shucking the job. And he was the bravest, 12, 13 years, the bravest person in there. And off the sacrifice, he's maybe still talked about generating movies and pushing that out there, only on the strength that it was tragic what happened to him. But what led up to that was the fact he had courage. He jumped out of that damn bed and said, who's the one that said something? He jumped up and said, me. They said, get your shoes. He says, get your shoes. I got to put my socks on first. And Cracker said, you know, in their interview, said, well, how come, you know, you need to put your, you know, your shoes on? He told them, Crackers, I never go anywhere without putting my socks first, under gunpoint.
Yep.
Hear what I'm saying? So we got to look at the – so I look at that, and I see some of the courage of some of the younger people who got this heart. They don't want to hear someone scratching their head, hemming and hawing and shit, and raving. Well, you're about to, like, go get your fucking paper.
No. That's why I'm willing. That's why I'm willing.
When they acquired Dodo in 36 hours, their total ticket sales went through the roof. They had to sell so many tickets in San Diego. They couldn't sell any more tickets. They sold out until September, whatever day it is.
The last day of the season, pretty much.
With that being said, what are the odds that the Commanders, right, under the new name, no more Washington football team, their first home game is going to be a total absolute sellout and the memorabilia fest, right?
Right.
Yep. Well, you still got a lot of fans that are still wearing the old R-word stuff.
Yep. And you got
that's memorabilia. Yeah, that's memorabilia now, and that stuff's worth a lot of money in the market. So when they close that
absolutely
out, it becomes a novelty. So in the memorabilia
absolutely
market, that's just amped up the price.
Absolutely.
Amped the price is exactly right. And you got to remember, Gary, now the Padres invested all this money.
Yep.
They're San Diego's only team. There's no San Diego Chargers.
That's right.
No San Diego
Conquistadors.
Right. You know, that's it.
San Diego Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They literally have their own territory now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Help. Somebody help me, please. I saw San Diego on TV either last weekend or the weekend before. Where did they get those god ugly uniforms?
It's
the Padre Brown, right? You know, the fathers, the monasteries. I mean that had that goldish, the garish yellow gold type of a color at one point in time. Then they have that brown color. Well, that's the cloak of the friars.
That's right.
You know, these, like no. Nate Colbert, Randy Jones days. You know, I mean,
yeah.
those were some real garish uniforms. But that was the softball uniform era, right? That's what the Astros had, those multicolors. You know, things of that matter. There was a lot of different color teams. I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals had that blue, that's a real interesting color. Philadelphia Phillies had that all blue uniform too. You know what I mean? And the Chicago White Sox was wearing oversized collars on short sleeve shirts. You know, back then. Remember those? Bill Vec had the shorts. Ron LaFleur was wearing those whack uniforms. So that was the softball uniform, Eric. That was for the marketing to try to brighten up the game because everything at baseball time was considered to be too traditional.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these teams that came and were trying to put softball uniforms, that's what softball leagues really took off in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Put this way, polyester was your friend back then.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
No joke. Well, guys, as we did in the book Four Quarters of Soul, you know, the Hall of Fame has its list out this year. If everybody can, give me one guy who you know belongs in there. You don't even have to tell me why. Just give me one guy you know damn well should have long had a bust and a jacket in Kent.
Don't all jump at once now.
I'll jump in real quick. Ed Tuthall Jones.
Yep. And I think the thing about Tuthall was that the best thing that ever happened to him was his boxing career. Because he was already a good player, but when he came back afterwards, he was a beast.
He was an absolute beast.
And what was interesting about that, I mean, you know, Buck Buchanan was, you know, very tall lineman. Even Ernie Ladd, you know what I mean? Ernie Ladd, when he was playing with the Chiefs, but he was injured a lot. My father tells a lot of stuff about Ernie Ladd when he played basketball. I think he played with Grambling. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing.
He was a Grambling.
It was a Grambling.
Yep, he was a Grambling guy.
He played hoop. Yeah, my father talked about going against him in hoop more than the football
too.
Thing.
He not only did the pro wrestling, but he did the college wrestling too, didn't he?
Big Daddy. Yeah, he was out there with, you know, the Russian Bear and all them type of dudes doing that WWORTV shit. You know, but he was a tall defensive lineman. Buck was a tall defensive lineman. When you start, you know, too tall was like the really first, you know, legit like 6'9". Cat, you know, that's coming off the edge, you know, which led to a lot of other guys, you know, coming into the game as well. And the fact that, again, you know, the Cowboys' success on the Doomsday defense was based on that. And we I remember Mike had Butch Johnson on here on the show, you know, here, right? And Butch, you know, I asked him about too tall, and he was like, yeah, he said the whole defense was set up and ran off too tall, even though he wasn't direct. He said Harvey Martin and Randy White were beneficiaries of how they use Tutaw.
Yes, indeed. Yes. And, you know, since you brought up Tutaw, if there's somebody who I think belongs in the Hall of Fame, nobody's mentioned, I would have to say Henry Lawrence of the Raiders. His nickname at Florida A&M was Killer. And he and Tutaw used to go head up against each other. Lawrence was so good that, as great as Art Shell is, he held his own after Shell left and filled that spot. They wrote 70 in, and they did not write 70 out. So I would say Henry Lawrence is somebody who really should get a long, strong look at. I want Ken Riley to finally get in. Now maybe Cincinnati's decent. They'll get him in, but I like Henry Lawrence a lot.
Yeah, he was nice.
Can I cheat and do two, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, my one HBCU guy would definitely be Otis Taylor, the first big receiver from back in the day out of Prairie View A&M, and for non HBCU. I gotta say Jim Marshall. He had the play. He had the consecutive game streak before Brett Favre, and you still have these idiots.
He ran the wrong way.
You know what? I'm gonna kick you. I'm gonna reverse kick you in your nuts. And if you keep talking about that
attribution, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You know, since I didn't give a non-HBCU player, I'll give one I've always admired. Roger Craig belongs in the Hall of Fame. As an awesome back that threw 1,000 yards rushing and receiving, that high knee kick of his. That was a strong brother, and he had a hell of a career. I got to give him a lot of props. He should be getting more respect. Roger Craig belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My choice is L.C. Greenwood. He helped make the Steelers what the Steelers were. And I also would love to see one Otis Taylor, number 89 for Kansas City.
That's long overdue, man.
And I told some guys, they were talking about the Hall of Fame. I said, you know, personally, I would love to see them not do a Hall of Fame because they scoot too many people out of what they deserve. And I said this, and beyond that, isn't it amazing that all these guys from these little quote unquote nondescript color schools, and think about it, not just them who have gotten screwed. What about the guys from all the other schools? Small schools, Division II, NAIA schools, who have gone on to make the Hall of Fame or deserve to be, whether in or not.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff Harris is one of them, right? He went to Alachita College or
Baptist.
Yeah,
I mean, so
yeah,
Cliff Harris fits that grid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, you have to look at some of these guys and where they went to school and how well they performed. Because, you know, they said the guy who played this with Stalwart was slow. But you never saw anybody running down from behind when the pass was right. Now, take that.
He was open a lot of times, man.
Okay, bring, remember that play that they talked about? They would run the play, and whoever they cover, he threw it to the other one. Basically, he would run up the numbers, basically, and you know, whichever one they whoever the safety bid on, they just threw the ball to the other side. But they had to, they did it together. And, you know, then you go back and you look at some of these other guys, and, you know, they came from little white school. But they always have this thing against guys who are from, quote, small school. But then they'll overpay some of the guys who came from those big professional farms. And guess what? They're crap.
Tennessee State University. Yeah, real quick, did I break? Statistics show in the 70s, Tennessee State University had more people drafted than USC, Notre Dame, UCLA. I mean, it's about three schools. The TSU had more players drafted in the 70s than any of those schools.
That.
I mean, I had the stat one time. Mm-hmm. No, it's documented. You know what I mean? So they knew where to get the ball players from. But back to Otis Taylor. Is Lynn Dawson in the Hall of Fame without Otis Taylor?
Yes, he is.
Is he? But would he be in the Hall of Fame without Otis Taylor?
God, no.
He wasn't even the best quarterback on his team.
See, Mike, that's how trouble gets started, okay? Most of them are the same quarterback.
It's the truth.
Otis Taylor made Lynn Dawson and Elmo Wright. And then, you know, Stram liked to use those big guys. He had that 6'10 tight end named Morris Stroud.
Morris Brown.
Morris Brown.
That's my point. Back to the built the Chiefs.
But Otis Taylor was
this deep threat, and Elmo Wright was the one with the dance, right? The high knee kick in the end zone after he got a shot. Right. Elmo, number 17, right? And Jimmy Marcellus was Tennessee State. Where did Edward Thomas go to school?
Who?
Where did he go to school at?
Emmett Thomas is in the Hall of Fame.
No one in that offense, you know what, Dawson, Mike Garrett's not in, right?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And he should be.
So it's
a Super Bowl team that won the game.
Where the hell is fucking Otis Taylor at? And Lynn Dawson, that was his combo, right? That was his number one go-to. His Devontae Adams and his friggin' Aaron Rodgers.
And guess what else he would do? He blocked downfield. He was one of the guys that, I mean, the defensive backs and linebackers never liked him because he would start the pattern and then come back and cut you down.
Yeah, first of the big receivers, too. What, 6'3"?
He was a tall receiver, too.
Yeah,
6'4", about 215.
Yeah, 6'4".
First of the big receivers, the first Megatron, technically, right?
Yes, the Jets had a couple of tweeners in Rich Caster and Jerome Barkham. They were listed as tight end, but they actually played receiver most of the time.
and Ernie Smolik was 6-3 and change with the Bills. But Otis Taylor was the first legit big man that had all those tools and brought it to the fair.
Right, right. And a deep threat. And a deep threat, yeah. And he made Lindorf, man.
Yep.
Oh, well, you know, good call. Good call with Otis. I'm glad we shouted him out because, I mean, some of these cats going in recently. I mean, Baselli and this class, I don't know what the hell this class was. I mean, stick for me. Oh, oof.
And see, this, you know, realistically, they should not even put coaches in spot four
the
players.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, what do they play? I mean, there should be a spot. There should be a spot in the Hall of Fame for coaches, but you shouldn't take up a player's spot for coaches.
We could do that with our Hall of Fame.
I always wondered about basketball, right? How is Tom Izzo, Jim Boeheim, these guys are active coaches but in the Hall of Fame? That throws me. But a player has to wait 5 years for retirement.
Yeah.
But a coach, do you keep going back year to year and changing his statistics if someone goes by their bust? Because they're active.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, but the collegiate coaches in the Basketball Hall of Fame – strange, you know, Piccadillas. But to your point, I agree with what Fred said. I'm not a Hall of Fame guy. I don't believe in, you know, that concept of, you know, Hall of Fame. But there is one, you know, she could ring. I always thought the Hall of Fame is whack. I thought it should be the Hall of Greatness, but, you know, that's another thing. You know, Hall of Fame, fame seems fleeting to me. Like, you know, freaking Paris Hilton can be famous and shit. You know what I mean? For like 5 minutes, the Kardashians can be famous for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if you had a long, sustained career, they call it the Hall of Fame. You know, now it's a marketing tool because you can go on speaking tours and get advertised and call yourself a Hall of Famer and all that shit. I mean, one of those TV networks always talk about our Hall of Famers or their broadcasters are Hall of Famers and this is our Hall of Famer. This, that, and the other. But, you know, when you talk to the, like Fred said, like you talk to the Russells and the people who've done it, they like, they don't want that. They don't see that as a condition. They see it as fears. That's why a guy like Russell, you know, refused initial entry, you know, when he first got here because he's seen it as fluff.
Yeah, yeah. And see, the thing about the premise of it back in the day was, you know, It was admirable, but as you said, it has gone. It has become commercial and has become more of a status symbol. Because see, the next person that says it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of the very good. I'm gonna slap my very good hand across your very good face.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate in elitism. Because see, my thing has always been in and of itself, when I think of Hall of Fame, it's not necessarily all the quote unquote great players because most of our greatest sports memories may not have been from players who were quote unquote Hall of Famers. You know, it's when you think of them and how it evokes in one's memory.
Yeah,
that's what the Hall of Fame should be about. It's about Elmo Wright, you know, Jantz. It's about Russell being the gazelle. It's about watching By the Blue stare down guys. You know, it's about all of that. That's all a part of it. But see somewhere along the way, and let's be honest, when you started seeing more black athletes become Hall of Fame eligible, all of a sudden you started hearing this, the Hall of Fames are watered down. They're letting anybody in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the problem because, see, again, it all falls back on white supremacy at some point because they still want to have that elitist separatism
from everything. You know, when the Negro Leaguers
and,
the Negro
and it's
Leaguers
a judgment,
started,
right?
Exactly.
Well, also it's a judgment because Barry Bonds, in the Bay Area, Barry Bonds is never going to be a non-fan favorite. Okay,
absolutely.
In the Bay Area, right? And Barry Bonds is a, you know, quote unquote a Hall of Famer. He's hitting more home runs than anybody. But because of a judgment of what he allegedly did for performance, which is a judgment which he never was suspended for or lost games from, he can't get into quote unquote that recognition level. You know what I mean? Which is a judgment, not what he did on the field. It still has to come down what you did between the lines. Clemens is the same. I mean, Clemens during this time as a pitcher was a dominant fucking pitcher, period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, McGuire and these dudes was, you know, they did their part between Sosa and these dudes. But the reality is they did it between the lines. And the day when Harold Baines went in and people went ape crap, where Harold Baines was a mediocre player. Good for Harold Baines, who's a really good player, but because the class was so light and allegedly he was clean because he never got popped for juicing, he got into the Hall of Fame because the class, he would have never got in. A-Rod's not in the Hall of Fame. You can't say that A-Rod wasn't a great player.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, somewhere along the way, as is with a lot of things, when they start seeing, when they have to recognize black folks' contributions, all of a sudden they want to turn a tone deaf ear or what have you. See, one of the reasons why I've always loved the Negro Leagues was that their whole thing was, okay, you don't want us to play in your league, you don't want to acknowledge us, fine. We will do our own thing.
But you know what?
And we
but
will
T-Mac,
be
but T-Mac
that.
That's the same science. You're right, my brother. T-Mac, that's the same science at HBCUs.
Exactly.
With all those brothers in the 60s and 50s stacked in those colleges. I mean, my father is perplexed. I can recall, you know, watching, I don't know, it could have been Oklahoma and Nebraska. I'm talking about the vintage big days. Was it called the Big Eight back then? Yeah, Big Eight. All right. Switzer and Osborne and them dudes were coaching. That Nebraska-Oklahoma game was like the big game. Keith Jackson and all those people would show up. You know, and I remember him looking at me, you know. He was looking at that university. He was seeing the brothers on the field, like I Am Hip and all them type of dudes, them great names. Buster Rhymes, I'm sorry, the rapper Buster Rhymes, there was a collegiate player for Oklahoma named Buster Rhymes before you. That was his actual name. Every time I see Buster, that's what I remember. But I remember him looking at the game, right, and seeing a few brothers on the field. And he was like, he was perplexed that these brothers were even thinking about going to universities that when he was in college would not even, you better be out of town by sundown in Norman, Oklahoma. Better be nowhere near that campus. And all these SEC schools, why they blew up, because most of those players would have went to HBCUs back in the day. Cam and them would have went to HBCUs. You see what I'm saying? All those brothers that carry the SEC to its level. All them Alabama brothers that Nick Saban is rocking it on, that's Florida A&M. That's Grambling. That's Tennessee State. That's Jackson State. That's where those athletes ended up back then.
Remember what Doug Williams said about when he was, I want to say he was still in high school. And when LSU played at home, you know, they were told not to be out at night.
Exactly.
And he actually
going nowhere near Baton Rouge.
And that's just, they said, well, it's a different time. It may be a different time to some degree, but did we not just have a coach get fired because it's a different time?
No question.
Exactly.
You know,
at that same university that, those guys in his, like, you know, I'm going to bounce because I want to hear from Mike, but some brothers that was, like, in his circle, you know, and I'm growing up hearing this, I mean, they, you know, they had no love. They'd seen Georgia and Alabama and Auburn and those type of schools. They didn't see that some type of fucking privilege to suit up for them people.
Exactly.
No shit.
Exactly. I've been lucky enough to interview like over a dozen Negro Leaguers from back in the day. And one guy in particular, his name was Wilmer Big Red Fields. And his whole thing was, while he respected the fact what Jackie
and Larry Doby. His goal was, I want to play for the Homestead Braves. That's my
what
goal.
What they did do, what the integration did do was destroy black businesses all across the country.
They destroyed
a lot of. It's the same thing when James Brown and them brothers, you know, used to get on the Chitlin circuit.
That's right.
And then when they start seeing the money, I mean, that was a hard tour. You know, I mean, shit, 40 shows and 30 nights. I mean, they were nonstop, and they were competitive.
They
had to put out empty.
That's right.
Serious,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
No auto-tune, no technology and shit. You had live bands. You know, you can break out nothing on the internet and just shoot it over lines and pump it through a speaker.
It was like live, man. And made arguably the greatest live recording ever because the live audience was there. Nobody knew.
Absolutely.
Nobody knew.
I mean, Sam, I challenge anyone to listen to Sam Cooke live at the Apollo. If you can't get shaken up by that.
That's art. That's art. That's
you know
art.
What I'm saying?
That's art at its finest.
I mean, these brothers, but what they talked about, the destruction of that business, was when they started getting into bigger conference, bigger arenas.
That's right.
You know, the white promoters start seeing, like, shit, we can put you in a bigger venue, a more of a convention
that's
hall
right.
type. You know, more of a larger venue. And that wiped that whole industry out. So the Negro Leagues, all those hotels, all those businesses, all those restaurants that were affiliated and associated, the social, it got wiped out. And that started streaming that money back to the major leagues. They always absorb what works.
And to bring it full circle, here's the crazy part. The main reason why the Dodgers and the Giants left New York was because their crowds were getting blacker.
That's right.
Think about that.
Definitely
think about
getting
that.
Blacker. You know, we got to leave it at that because time is against us, but this was great stuff, y'all. You got to get the final thoughts. Reggie, set it off with something.
Biscuit time.
Hey, Reggie, have you mastered how to put them jalapenos in those biscuits?
Nah, I'm okay. You guys just been going back and forth. I'm looking at Serena Williams in the cat suit. I'm still drooling.
Yeah. Stop drooling.
Nah, but I'll just say it's going to be real interesting that when the U.S. Open comes, how many celebrities are going to be in Arthur Ashe Stadium? How many people are going to look at that first one or two sets? I'm saying that she might not make it out the first set. Because knowing the U.S. Open, they're probably going to put, maybe Coco Gauff or either somebody else against her, have her sister take her out. And I'll be like, damn, here we go again, black-on-black crime. But that's another joke. But I just have to say real quick, gentlemen, I still say that God bless you, Deion Sanders, for all of the excitement you brought. But everybody going to be ready for your ass this year. And we are 6-1. Against the SWAC. As I told the commissioner of the NEAC, y'all need to join us, not the other way around, because we've been beating that ass for the last couple of years. And Commissioner Williams smiled about that. So all I got to say is that the season begins.
I like that. I like that. Patrick, come on with it.
Think we lost Patrick?
Everybody's gone.
Patrick, you there.
Maybe his family time too.
Yeah, he's checking out his new Cuisinart for that grilled cheese.
All right, Professor, please.
Well, this has been a good to great week overall. I won't go into any detail, but you know, we still have to tell our own story. We a lot of what we talked about tonight. Verified that we have to tell our story. You can check me out on HBQ, blackheadreview.com, by books. We also on Facebook. We'll be putting out some new stuff shortly, as well as some new stuff going up with the HBCU Pro Sports Media Association. We'll be highlighting great people from black colleges, great people
who were athletes, some athletes and some were not. But just the gist of it is we got to tell our story, and if we don't tell it now, we're going to go by the wayside. Because we just mentioned that chitlin circuit. Several times we got to go past this house. And I tell people sometimes, you know, well, that used to be a hotel. That little place, it's a three-story building. It was owned in part by the Chestnut family. As in Ann Chestnut, the sister of one Charles Chestnut, that family owned that building. And it has about 20 rooms in it. But anyway, it was part of the children's church. And my church is located on land that once held one of the clubs that was part of the children's circuit. And when I tell them the story, they go, oh, wow. So no, that just this. It was a business. It was a black-owned business. It is now a black-owned church.
There you go. I like that. Eric?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, we're rich with the wisdom, you know, and, you know, obviously what happens when this information is shared, it is really shared, you know, extremely broadly all the time. I see tidbits just popping up all everywhere, and the only way they could have got the, you know, intel was, you know, through this soon Mike show probably, you know, gets more email blasts and links than, you know, he can even think about in terms of, like, media types, because they pick up a lot of the, you know, tidbits that grow, you know, fast. And we've seen it expand, you know, in terms of recognition to many of the names we've seen and how people who, outside of the pigmentation and race quotient, will pick up on it and see that there's some honorable things, and they're really intrigued by this information because there's a wide swath of data that they never had access to. Even when we see what's taking place, you know, with the HBCUs, even that's a format of some of that fallout. So I'm always exceedingly confident about how the information only grows and expands. There were people who invest in this information and do the research, write books, expand upon the knowledge, and get to certain recognition. It happens all the time. You know, we've seen that with, you know, the TSU teams and you know, I mean, obviously Dick Barnett and company have this great motion picture out there traveling the globe on film festivals and rave reviews and capturing a lot of just phenomenal information about things that were buried. Even amongst our peers, even amongst, you know, the competitive world of HBCUs, not everybody at TSU get all the love that they deserve. Because they were so fucking dominant and shit. You know what I mean? Like, were they that good? Y'all did all that? Yeah, it's true. It's a fiction to you, but not everybody. Okay. There's people who are, say, in between, you know, who just want to know and learn, which is a lot of the younger generation. They're fascinated by that. And they build on it. They expand upon it. They grow it. They teach it. So That I love. So the tell the story thing is working, and it's working exponentially. Real quickly, shame on you, Philadelphia Phillies, for inviting Pete Rose.
No, but again.
Shame on you, Philadelphia Phillies, for bringing in a person who's now been exposed, been having, and I never use the term relations. Who's the pedophile? Let's use the right term. Yep. Who was dating 12 to 15-year-old girls while at Cincinnati Reds in relationships with them, you know what I mean, at that particular point in time. And then you come after DeShong. You know, right there, you got Pete Rose, you know, a pedophile. Yep. Back come in that on. Ghetto, going that Midwestern again. We've seen it, and we'll never let go. FU ad nauseum, USA Olympics, FU ad nauseum to all the gymnasts who are suing the FBI and all that. And we went in. No one was talking like that. We did a nuclear holocaust blast on USA gymnastics, and we talked about the reason why Miss Biles didn't play was because of the fucking asshole over there at Michigan State, who I will not use his name, and she only confirmed it. She only substantiated that, and then all the other women stood up behind him. So we're not in fantasy land again. Again, check, check, check. Sandusky, check, check, check. Now Pete Rose.
Attribution.
Pete Rose, you're another person who's a pedophile. you were, your teammates knew, the Major League Baseball knew, you were in relationships with 15-year-old girls and younger, and she met you in sexual relationships, and now that's out there, and then you were invited to that, and you still showed the grotesque human being that you are. You don't deserve anything that comes your way, but thank you for inviting him so you can expose these double standards and how what your past times, all-time leading hitter, is a syncopated, ridiculous, pedophilia, lying, degenerate gambler, imbecile, and I rest my case.
There you go. Ace that shit. Gary, come on with it.
I want to add what the gentleman just said. 4 years ago, I would have voted Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. 4 years ago, I was a backer of Pete Rose. After reading of this past week, I will never, I repeat that, never.
Right on, my brother.
Rose ever again.
Pacific time, 7 Eastern. Big G, Big Bag Tournament is back, and we got some more action in the Western region. We'll have the Ohio players up against a mystery artist, Wild Card.
With some sunshine, if we can. Not that one, but you know what I'm getting at. There comes a time in life when we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time is always hard when you love something so much.
Yeah,
my goodness. I enjoy tennis, but now the countdown has begun. I have to focus on being a mom and my spiritual goals and finally discovering a different but just exciting Serena. I'm going to relish these next few weeks as we've relished in her over 20-year career as well. And I'm just going to come right out and say it. She's going to go out in style. She's going to win the U.S. Open.
Write it down right now.
She's going to win it. She's going to win the Open. I think she's going to go out on top.
I'm really sorry to hear that Miss Naomi Osaka has a serious back injury. She may be out of tennis because of this back injury. It's very serious.
Oh man! It's time.
It's nice to know that Serena and Venus will be able to transition and continue whatever endeavors they wish to do on their own terms, in their own time, without having to answer to anyone. They are blessings to us. They are blessings to the culture. Long live the goddess and the huntress, Venus and Serena Williams. Now, having said that, Patrick, one last time. Are you eating?
Yep.
Did you have itis? Are you out?
Lil Inus. That was hunger.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I was doing stuff all day long, man. Down at Rooker's doing stuff in bed and back in the studio and back out to shoot tonight. And can make sure I talk to y'all. Real quickly, guys, I wanted to hit y'all with this, that I'm hearing some spinoffs. Now, we know that CBS and NBC have signed off to take the Big Ten away from ESPN. All right?
Yeah.
I'm finding out from stuff I'm reading, and hopefully I can talk to the guy, you know, who was intertwined with the whole area up there in CBS, and talk to him a week is out. I think that eventually is going to bring in Notre Dame back on, because they're already on NBC. But more importantly, what I'm hearing, that the offshoot, that they need programming, they need content, and it might spread out and help HBCU.
You read my mind. Yes.
So that's where I'm holding off to see what this guy tells me, because again, he's in that orbit to where he could get information, and I'm sensing that. So, you know, because they got to fill time, because, you know, now the ESPN will be the SEC station. You'll see all the SEC games beside their own channel.
And Mike, can I just add an addendum to what Patrick is saying? NBC Sports on Saturday, December 17th, will present the HBCU Pigskin Showdown, a college football all-star game for student-athletes from HBCUs. The game will be shown at 1 o'clock Eastern on Peacock and CNBC.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
There's more coming.
Just enhancing on that.
You know, the Broncos was sold this week to Morton. But there are three names attached to it.
I'm that guy too.
Yes, Condoleezza Rice. She's a mighty army owner and the race car driver. Lewis Hamilton is probably also interesting. Mm-hmm. That they've those people involved. Mm-hmm.
Patrick, I just missed the cut by $300 million.
Well, I got some change. Yeah. I'm not gonna give you, man. You know.
Yeah. We'll see.
Bring off a dollar.
See, if I had had one less bag of chips this week, I might have been able to get over.
You could just pay cash to you to get all right with me. That's all right. Mm-hmm. All right, next time.
Yeah, we got you, T. We got you. We'll spot that.
Yeah.
Bro, I got you in that next bag of chips, bro.
Well, gentlemen,
there you go.
As always, the pot has stayed hot. We've had some good stuff put in and some great stuff taken out. I think everybody's sitting down. But I'm gonna end where I started. Lamar Jackson, this is his fifth year. Everybody knows what he can do, and they're going to try to stop him from doing that. That's why I'm going to play this little snippet to remind everybody and Mr. Jackson of what time it really is. 37-12 can't be wrong, and I got to believe that it's going to be a matter of just a few games before the magic words are uttered.
Whether he will ever be a good enough passer to be a winning NFL quarterback, as everyone here says, there's a lot of work to do there.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Not only the lack of accuracy down the field, but also his slight frame.
I'ma keep on lying to you.
Yeah.
Until you think it's the truth.
He's 213, okay? Nobody makes a living in the National Football League running the football as a quarterback at 213.
Why the fuck you lying?
Why
you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying. Always lying to me.
Why?
You lying so much.
Why?
in year two, Lamar has his sights set on running less and passing more, saying he'll probably throw 30 times a game. No biggie, he only did that zero times last season.
He's a freak athlete who can throw it a mile, but is small, doesn't read coverages. He'll probably have to make it a different position.
I'm a keep on lying to you.
Yeah.
Until you think it's the truth.
But his overall throwing motion, he is not a pure thrower of the ball. He pushes the ball. So I wonder, just making those tight throws in those windows, those NFL windows. College, you're open like this. In the NFL, you need about that much room to be able to squeeze the ball.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
We know what a dual threat he is. Is he a great passer? No, he is not.
I'm a keep on lying to you.
Number one, no top receiver is going to go play with Lamar Jackson.
Remember when we last saw Lamar Jackson against a real NFL team? With 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, this man had three completions and 25 yards passing. That's the last time with three fumbles.
You win.
The football aficionados got questions about whether or not you've got longevity as a quarterback in the National Football League. To that, you say what?
You're going to have to see.